Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yes, and here he is, Michael Savage. Now I've got to talk for 3 hours. What are you kidding me? Welcome to the show. The phone number is 855-407-282. There's a lot of things running through my mind at once, which I will get to in due time, but I got to go to the top of the news items. I opened up the Drudge Report this morning, as I do on a normal basis, for the latest headlines. There's no secret that site has it's become the Hearst of our time. I said that before. I see a headline, and I said, this can't be so. I almost spilled my coffee. Kansas City shooting suspect was protected FBI informant. Now, is there anyone listening to this show who remembers what I, Michael Savage, said the day that this Kansas City guy, this Nazi, went crazy on a shooting spree and went to a Jewish center and killed three people, two Christians, by the way? Do you remember what I said on this show? I said to you, it seems odd to me that a day after the standoff in the desert, the Harry Reid cowboy standoff, a day after the government backed down, the BLM backs down, literally a day after, a Nazi goes on a shooting spree outside a Jewish center, and I said, there's got to be a connection. I said, okay, if I was given to conspiracy, I would say he was controlled by a government agent who basically said to him, it's time to get the Jews, and they released him to go do it. Say, all right, it's crazy. It can't happen that way. It can't happen here. I open this article up. It says Kansas City shooting suspect was protected FBI informant. Struck a deal with authorities in the late 1980s in which the Nazi gave up information about fellow white nationalists for a reduced prison sentence along with protection and a new name upon his release in 1990. You can read the rest of the story yourself. Now, I want to play for you the minute my fax machine stops screaming. I have to put it on mute. I have a studio with everything around me at once, from a kitchen soup can. I spilled soup on the desk 10 minutes ago. I eat power lunches. You got to understand, my power lunch consisted of a can of soup just now, which is under the microphone on the desk. But the fact is, I remember what I said. And I said, all right, maybe I shouldn't have said it to the audience. But remember, I think out loud. I'm a free thinker. It gets me in a lot of trouble, but people seem to like it because we live in an age of such controlled doublespeak that when a man actually thinks out loud, it's considered a novelty in this society, right? I want to play for you, it's only a minute long, exactly what I said the day the Nazi went on a shooting spree. I want you to listen to clip one. Remember when I did this. Nobody else in the media saw through this as a possibility. And it's only a possibility that he was a government agent, and in order to cover up the government backing down in the cowboy standoff, they would suddenly release a Nazi, bring him to a Jewish center, tell him to go shoot. Why? So they can tell people, oh, we need gun control. Why? It's not possible in a dictatorship of the type that's emerging under this urticaria president that we have. He's like hives. This president is like hives. Everything the man does and says, I feel like I got hives breaking out of my body. Why is it not possible? Listen to clip one. A day or two after the standoff in the Nevada desert, all of a sudden, a Nazi was released who goes and kills people outside a Jewish center in Kansas. He kills two Christians, by the way, and then one Jewish person. And before it even is over, within hours, we have his complete dossier. We know who he is. We know who he is, where he comes from. We know he's said Heil Hitler. And strangely enough, that organization called the Southern Poverty Law Center released all the information about this Nazi literally within a few hours of the event occurring. It seemed to me it was a seamless connection between the Nazi being released and him going on a shooting spree outside two Jewish organizations in the Midwest. And so what am I getting at? What I am getting at is perfectly possible to me that he was a madman under control of a government agent, probably who infiltrated his little cell, made believe he was one of them, and told the man, now is the time to get those Jews. Why? Why would they want to have a shooting at a Jewish center literally a day after the government backed off from American cowboys. Well, there's your proof. The proof is in the pudding. There's a reason that people are listening to the Savage Nation. Love me or hate me, I don't think there's anyone else in the country who's willing to take a chance in expressing himself as freely as I do, in the way that I do on the show. I'm not asking you to call and confirm or deny that, but I have to tell you that the Kansas City shooter being found out today as a protected FBI informant, it was released by ABC News, by the way, which is even more interesting. This guy was given the name Fraser Glenn Cross in 1990 upon his release from prison. And the FBI granted him protection both from his original targets and his former compatriots sending him to Iowa and then Nebraska. He asked for protection from both the white Patriot Party people and blacks in prison because he had alienated both groups. Quote, obviously once he served his sentence, he couldn't go back to where his old compatriots were because he would be at risk. So we had to put him somewhere safe. Did you hear what I just said to you? Is anyone listening to this show or not? All right, you're not listening. We'll move on. So last night, since you're not interested in the news, I decided to take a Benadryl because my allergies are bad. Would you like me to talk about health? I turned on a show this morning. I was talking about health for 2 hours. It sounded like old guys on a boardwalk lifting up their pants legs, showing their varicose veins, talking about when they used to be runners. So I may as well do it. I'll join the chorus since no one's interested in politics. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know. I don't feel as good as I used to feel. I got aches and I got pains. I tried antihistamine. The truth is I had severe arthritis when I was in Florida. Before it, I thought if Florida would fix it, it wouldn't go away. I got to tell you what I did. You're not going to believe it. I mean, I'm trained in nutrition. I have a PhD in the field. So I said, hey, doc, practice what you preach. Try an elimination diet. You know what I did yesterday? I practiced an elimination diet. Normally, I eat like a lot of food. I'm a big eater. Chinese, Italian, Thai, this. I don't care. It's not that I'm a garbage pill. I'm selective in what I eat, but I eat a lot. I'm a big eater. I said, I have to first go back to diet. I'm not going to medicine. I'm not going to a rheumatologist unless I have to. But I'm talking about severe bad pain, right? So you know what I made for dinner? Against every instinct I had, I made white rice and vegetables. I made believe I was a prisoner of war in Bataan. I ate white rice and vegetables slowly, but I swear to God, I took an antihistamine, it's true, as well last night, a Benadryl, because I really wanted to sleep, and I never used them. I don't even use them on airplanes. I woke up, I had a great dreamless sleep. I don't remember my dreams, and most of the aches went away. Now, naturally, I couldn't keep the diet very long, so I already violated it just now for lunch with a can of soup, and everything hurts again. Even the can of soup triggered it. It's amazing to me, when you're on an elimination diet, you can get a histamine reaction to almost anything. Virtually anything will provoke a histamine reaction. Seafood, eggs, cured, smoked, and fermented meats. Even leftover meat, by the way, will provoke histamine because the histamine levels increase due to microbial action as meat sits around. Cheeses you can't eat. Yogurt, buttermilk, kefir. I don't like the name kefir. Citrus fruits. Kefir is almost like a dirty word. It sounds like something else. That's why I don't like it. Berries are on the list, dried fruit, sauerkraut, pickles, spinach, tomatoes. I live on tomatoes. I can't eat it now. Spices I can't eat. Tea I can't have. Alcohol I can't have. No alcohol, no coffee. There's no point in living. Vinegar. I've been eating a lot of vinegar over the last few months. I got into a vinegar kick. I was using this Japanese rice vinegar. I think it provoked the whole arthritis thing. I swear to God. Now, I know you want to talk about the shooting. I'm glad you are. This is sort of like a combination deal I'm giving you today. You're getting a combo plate. You're getting hard news combined with nutrition all at once. I'll give you another piece on the captain's plate. Want me to talk about histamine reactions? I'm not going to do it. I already gave it to you. You could look it up yourself. We'll go to now the third item on the buffet called the Savage Captain's Plate. I woke up this morning, and there's a local blogger who I've never had the pleasure of meeting named Rich Lieberman. And you know I'm hated in the Bay Area, except by those who love me. And I'm the biggest media star in the history of the Bay Area. Nobody has ever come near me. Nobody has come into the Bay Area and become a national host, which is why I'm hated. Nobody in television, nobody in radio in the San Francisco area has ever achieved what I've achieved. Consequently, they hate my guts out of pure jealousy. So they try to sabotage the show. They write hateful emails about me, whatever. I open up Rich Lieberman, and here's what he says. A real tale from the city. Michael Savage gets star treatment in North Beach, high fives and Fat Tony adulation. Shall I read it to you or not? Or you want to talk about the Nevada incident and the shooter? I'll read it to you while you're calling, 855-407-282. That's all. There's plenty of news. Quite a scene the other night. I'll read it to you. Quite a scene the other night outside the North Beach restaurant where top syndicated radio banana Michael Savage was outside, roaming the streets and high-fiving, among others, Fat Tony from nearby Broadway. Savage, who was no doubt celebrating his newfound radio ratings bonanza, went to see his friend Lorenzo Petroni, the owner of the legendary Italian eatery, who was battling a major illness. Before Savage could make it into his splashy new vintage Jag convertible, several fans from across the street began converging on the SF-based radio star, besieging the area into a sea of humanity. The normally private Sage off the air was blown away by the impromptu fans seeking autographs, selfies, and Uber high fives. Looked like a scene out of Goodfellas. All we needed was Henry Hill. After about 20 minutes of good old-fashioned modern-day schmoozing, Savage took off in the old Jag and left the North Beach corridor in style. Now, of course, the haters are already on the site. Immediately, the haters who don't have a radio show or wish they had one or have one and failed or were fired as program directors or general managers, people who used to be in the media, were in the media, has been in the media, have been in the media, right away they line up the haters. But, you know, one thing they can't do is change reality. The reality is I'm on Boardwalk, and there there's a family show. There's a way to say it, but I don't know how to say it politely. I'm on Boardwalk in the penthouse, and they're in the, I can't say the word, let's say the outhouse. I have another word for it, but I can't use it on the radio show. So they write their little hate, the little cyber bullies. They wouldn't put their name on it. None of them will put their name on it, but they're nobody, so I'm used to it by now. If you get a comment on any of this, the phone number is 855-400-7282. I think this Kansas City story is a good one. And do you believe it's possible that the government did, let us say, trigger this madman anti-Semite into his shooting spree in order to immediately have the American people forget that Harry Reid's goons and the BLM backed off in the standoff with the cowboy? Do you think it's possible? Yes or no? 855-407-282. It's 18 minutes after the hour. I've given you some of the offerings on the captain's plate today on the Savage Nation. Let's begin with some of the callers. Mike on WJR in Detroit. Mike, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Yes, I'd like to say that I'm totally convinced that the Obama administration is doing its utmost to find an excuse to declare martial law, because once martial law is declared, they can round up their enemies, throw them in concentration camps. They can also have their enemies killed if they naturally resist and don't want to peacefully go along to the concentration camp. I believe that that man was probably like a Manchurian candidate, and I'll go even further. I think that Timothy McVeigh, although I have no proof, my opinion, Timothy McVeigh was probably a Manchurian candidate individual.
I agree with you on Timothy McVeigh, and I'll tell you why. As a fiction writer, as a novelist, I would absolutely take that position for one reason. Why did they execute Timothy McVeigh so quickly when the Dal Hassan, the Muslim major who went on a shooting spree and killed 13 and wounded 35, is still not executed? Explain why Timothy McVeigh was executed so quickly.
Exactly. I have another point I'd like to make, and that is that I read this book years ago entitled Road to Revolution, written by Philip Luce, who was a former member of the Progressive Labor Party, which was a communist organization. And he says that that when the Black Revolution breaks out in the United States, that those who are in the military will create all manners of sabotage. And I submit to you, although I have some...
Please, don't let that out on the air. Did you get that, Eric? I don't want that. I don't want that out on the air. We can't do that. Sorry. We can't let certain things out. Okay, listen. You want to talk about this rationally? Let's not get carried away. The phone number is 855-407-282. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. I'm feeling good. I don't know what's wrong with me. Frightening when you feel good. It's like the old joke. I've been feeling bad for so long that when I feel good, I have to go to a doctor. I wonder what's wrong with me. No, it's the elimination diet I'm on. Less food is good. Less is more. There's no question about it. I feel fantastic. This is unbelievable. I mean, feeling this good, I'm liable to stay in radio another 20 years. God only knows. God only knows. What if I'm the last man standing? God, that would be something. It would have taken me 20-some-odd years to get there. So what do you think about the shooter? Do you think that this was just a crazy guy who went on a shooting spree outside the Jewish centers right after the standoff? Or do you think it's possible? I said possible. That he could be a Manchurian candidate who was controlled. I mean, the article came out today from ABC. He was a protected FBI informant. What kind of a leap in faith does it take for you to consider maybe it's possible that it did it in order to control us into thinking guns are bad? We better get the guns from the crazies. What do you think Harry Reid would like more than anything on earth right now? What would Harry Reid like? Harry Reid right now is not a happy camper. Harry Reid got himself in a lot of trouble by standing up over this sagebrush. Let's put it that way. And I think it's something much more than solar farms. I think that there's something more to what I told you about the rare earth mineral issue. There's an article today that from the Las Vegas area. How did Harry Reid get so rich? Now, if you're a senator in other parts of America who's gotten very rich, huh? Okay, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere, as they say. And as you well know, I'm on over 200 stations, including your station, wherever you're listening to me. But I just got the ratings in New York City again. And in 12+, my show is number one on WABC again. So let's have a round of applause for me. I'm an audience of one. My dog just lifted his paw up and down. Michael Savage, number one on WABC. No, really, it's an amazing thing to me. People think I'm from New York. I haven't been in New York in 45 years. No, once my mother passed away, there was no point in going back. My publishers are in New York. My agent is in New York. Other than that, I don't know a soul in New York. None of my relatives don't even live there anymore. Nobody's from New York except people from Cleveland. The people in New York now aren't even from New York. They don't even recognize my accent. They think I'm from another country. They think I'm from Ireland. Everybody sounds like they took voice lessons to sound like, you know, I'm really from New York. I'm really from New Jersey. I'm really from here. What's it with reality shows? Good God. Everybody's got a reality show. Everybody's a star behind their car. Everybody in every car is a movie star. Electric window. Everyone's a star behind their car. You go into a bar in any city, everyone's a movie star. Everyone's a star behind the bar, right? The minute they go in, I'll take a this. Give me a Jack. Give me a... Everyone's playing a role. Shakespeare was right. All the world's a stage. No, you think about it. Everyone's a star in a bar. Isn't it true? Everyone's posing. They're not in there being natural. They're trying to look natural. How can you look natural? Just by trying to look natural, you're phony. So the only place to be natural is at home with the dog. So I never leave the radio station. No, see, everyone's a star behind the bar. It's true. That's why I'm talking about the shooter, because you're not listening to me. I'm trying to cover it up. I don't want you to understand how bad it really is. Our supreme leader, though, is in Asia. He already made a mistake. He bowed down to a robot. Day one, he bowed down to a Japanese robot. Yeah, day one. Didn't understand protocol. He doesn't understand the robot didn't know he was bowing to him. This guy is as tough as nails when it comes to anyone who opposes his policies in America, but he's like a piece of cooked spaghetti everywhere else on the planet. 855-407-2828. 855-407-2828 is the Savage Nation phone number, I believe. And things are going to get a lot crazier very soon. How did Harry Reid become so wealthy is the article that should have every senator whose wealth has increased since they entered politics wondering. And I don't know how I don't know how this was published today in Real Clear Politics. How did Harry Reid become so wealthy is the headline on the Drudge Report. Harry Reid's long, steady accretion of power and wealth. You know, they could write this about a few other senators who started out quite humble and are worth a lot of money and have a lot of power. You wouldn't think there's any self-dealing, would you? No. Now, why would an ordinary person spend upwards of what it is today to become a U.S. senator? How many millions do you need? Now, let's say you spend... To become a U.S. senator, what is it, $5 to $10 million for a $200,000 a year job? How does that work? Let's see, people want to do that in order to lose money? So it cost them $10 million to make $200,000 a year, so they're giving up 9.8 in order to become a senator? What, for public service? I don't think so. I think there's an awful lot of nepotism and self-dealing in our Senate, and in our Congress, for that matter, which is why the people are up in arms. They're sick of the crooks. They're sick of it up to here. Read it. Read the article. How did Harry Reid become so wealthy? But tomorrow it could be about another senator in another state. You know what I'm saying? Check out what they were worth before they started and what they are now. Okay, let's go back to the shooter thing. Someone says I'm wrong. Nancy on KSFO, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
He's crazy. He just went out and shot people for no reason, and that's it.
Okay, but hold on. Don't you think there was an uncanny coincidence between the cowboy standoff and then 2 days later this guy goes crazy outside Jewish centers?
Exactly what I said. He went crazy.
But wait, but why and 2 days late? Why 2 days later? Why not 2 days before?
It took him 48 hours.
It took him what, 48 hours? You mean the standoff in the desert made him crazy?
Just go out and shoot people.
But why that day? Why when the headline was about the BLM backing off from Americans with guns? Why? You can't answer it because your brain isn't working properly. You probably have too much histamine in your body. You have to consider taking a histamine-free diet. All right, maybe I'm wrong. That's all. Lynn on KCMO, one of the great stations in America. Lynn, go ahead, please.
Hello to you and Teddy. You are wrong, but not perhaps on that point. The people that he shot were not Jewish at all. He couldn't even get that right.
But hold on, ma'am. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. Two of the people he shot were Christians in the Jewish center. The other one was a Jewish person, but he didn't know that the Christians were Christians, did he?
Tell you, sir. May I finish? Because I live here and I know some of these people. The woman who was visiting her mother in the Jewish nursing home was a member of Visitation Catholic Church and very active in that church.
I understand, but did he know that they were not Jewish? Why did he choose two Jewish organizations?
Well, because he went to the Jewish center is used by probably 60% people who aren't even Jewish. The grandfather and his grandson were there for an audition and something similar to American Idol, only not so big. And that's why he was there. And then the other woman was visiting her mother, who was in a nursing home. It was run by the Jewish people, but it's one of the better nursing homes in town.
So are you alleging that although the shootings took place at a Jewish center, he didn't know they were Jewish?
He just was shooting people there. He didn't have a clue. He couldn't even get what he was trying to do correct. The people were just people. They could have been anybody. My granddaughter has played soccer.
Wait, ma'am, but why did he choose a Jewish center to go on his shooting mission?
Oh, that's obvious, because he hates Jewish people and he hates black people. He's crazy.
So then you're confirming my argument that he was targeting Jewish people. But he was so blind with hatred, he didn't know whether they were Jewish or not.
That is correct. He did not even get one Jewish person, which is, you know, neither here.
But that's not, ma'am, but that's, ma'am, we're going in circles. That's not the point. The point is he thought they were Jewish people.
But you stated that only one was Jewish. None of them were Jewish. They all have.
Okay, all right, okay. I stand corrected on the people he shot, but in his mind they were all Jewish, correct?
Absolutely. And you know what? The school where he was finally arrested, I believe, was also a Jewish school. They haven't mentioned that. I'm not positive of that, but I've been by a school in that area that is Jewish, and I think he probably, it's a good thing that people had called in and given enough information that they were able to find him. Otherwise, he probably would have targeted that school.
I get it. Okay, so let's go to my main point. It turns out today that this shooter was a protected FBI informant. Is it possible in your mind that he was a Manchurian candidate?
No, he's been very obvious down there where he is. He's in an area, unfortunately, where there's a lot of people who think just like him, and he had actually worked himself back into the good graces of a lot of those crazy people that he had wheeled on in the 80s.
So you don't think there's even a remote possibility that he was under the control of a government agent who talked him into doing this? You think he just did it spontaneously?
I think it's a remote chance, but I think it's just what.
All right. Well, you admit that. Hold it. You admit there's a remote chance. That's all we're talking about, is a remote chance, and that's what I'm trying to get at. We shouldn't dismiss outright the remote possibility that he was a Manchurian candidate. In other words, if you were a homicide detective trying to piece together the motives of an individual, you rule nothing out. You don't say, well, I'm going to rule it out because it's too crazy. Any detective will tell you, you rule nothing out when you're looking at a case, right?
That is true.
And that's all I'm saying, and I appreciate the call. I appreciate the call. Now, I've lost my computer contacts here. I can still speak with you on the Savage Nation. I've lost my call base. My Telos is down. My internet is down. My Skype is down. My callers are up. So, Pedro, if you can hear me, just put up any caller for me because I cannot take any callers on my Telos. If you can't hear me, we'll have to go to break. We're having a little technical difficulty. Then put up a caller because I cannot take the calls. Doug's going to have to enter my machine. Well, put him up. I can't get him. Nick, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. I also agree with Nancy. I think he was just crazy, and I think you're incorrect in saying that there's a connection between the FBI or some other government agency and this guy for this reason. Apart from conservatives, apart from people who read InfoWars, listened to Alec Jones' show or your show or Rush Limbaugh or who read Drudge Report, people didn't even know that the Nevada thing was going on.
But this guy's an exception. He's an outlier. He's not the average person. He's part of a far, far, far out group of people who would certainly know what was going on in Nevada.
Exactly, but you made the argument that the federal government or some agent of the federal government forced this guy or encouraged him to go shooting to detract people from the Nevada shooting. I'm saying the government didn't even need to do that because the furor over what was happening in Nevada only existed among conservatives. You know.
Oh! What you're saying is the average moron out there, the average idiot, that didn't even know this occurred.
Of course not. Did you see that there were federal armed agents trying to take away somebody's rights on CNN? No. Was it reported in the New York Times? Of course.
Did you see federal agents using police dogs the size of 150-pound Nazi concentration camp dogs with their teeth bared showing to release them on women and children? No. Did you see pictures of cowards squatting down with scope rifles aiming at unarmed women? No. No, you didn't see any of that except on Fox News, but Fox News has a fairly large audience.
True, but again, the country has become so polarized that a lot of people, even though they know, I mean, of course everybody knows about Fox News, but a lot of people just didn't see it. I did a random straw poll. I go to Oakland University in Michigan, and which is fairly liberal, not crazy like U of M Ann Arbor or some of the others here in Michigan are, but still fairly liberal. Not a single person there even knew about the thing in Nevada, let alone even the people I talked to did not even know about the Drudge Report.
So they're the perfect useful idiot that Lenin wrote about. Most of America has become a nation of useful idiots.
It's true.
Just useful idiots where a government can get away with virtually anything, right?
Because they know that now that they can get away with things that in the past they wouldn't have dreamed to do, I don't think that they need to put up what you're saying was basically a diversion.
You make a very, very, very cogent and logical argument, but I would not entirely rule out the potential that he was a Manchurian candidate released by the government in order to have the population at large, even if it was, let us say, independent voters who watch Fox News or listen to various radio shows or go to the Drudge Report or other sites, that population say, you know what, maybe we should make certain that some people don't have guns.
Oh, yeah, it's certainly a possibility. I just don't think that that's what happened. But that does not rule it out as a possibility. You're right.
Okay, so again, if you were a homicide detective or reconstructing a crime scene, you would agree with me that this is a possibility, however remote, that must be considered.
I would. I actually.
Thank you very much. That's all. Next case. Clarence Darrow to the defense. The Savage Nation is going to take a quick break and try to correct some of these. Probably have to go hit the router. This and that. The Savage Nation will be back in a minute. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Listen, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I just had a little... Are you listening to me? Am I broadcasting or not? Yes. Okay, I'm broadcasting. Listen to me. I just lost my call screener. I lost my internet. I lost my Skype. I ran all over the studio, and guess what? There was a power outage. I don't think I'm living in Eastern Europe, do you? Why would I have a power outage in the middle of a radio show? Which, by the way, in this day, today is coming out of one of my remote studios. Am I supposed to assume this was an accidental power outage the minute I was talking about a government conspiracy? Go ahead. I don't care how you take this. Something's wrong here. I get a call from a man who says he doesn't think the government would have done this because the mainstream news did not cover it, and because it was not covered by the shills like Wolf Blitzer and the other useless idiots on CNN. Therefore, the government had no fear of armed Americans who were sick and tired of their fascistic inclinations. No, this is why conservative alternative radio and conservative alternative press must exist, or you live in a damn concentration camp, all of you. You may as well put a ring in your damn nose. You could be led right into a camp if they waved a bagel in front of your nose. They'll put you on a boxcar if they offered you a free bagel. Lapdogs, not watchdogs. That's what these empty skirts are today. Okay, we got power back. The power's come back up. The reason I was still able to broadcast is because the government doesn't know that my microphone is not connected to the grid. I have a battery backup on my microphone. All the other equipment went dead, but not my microphone. I hope I'm broadcasting because I don't even know if I am. I think that I am, and I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Chuck Berry, Too Much Monkey Business on the Savage Nation. It is times like these that give one pause about who's doing what to whom. Here I am talking about a possible government conspiracy, and the power goes off in my studio. I lose control over my callers. I can't see my computer screen. But unbeknownst to the evildoers, if it was, let's say, done on purpose, every studio of mine has a battery backup, which was put in years ago, precisely because of power glitches. See, all right, again, is it an accident? I don't know. I hope so. I hope I'm crazy. Let's hope it's just a histamine reaction, and there is no government conspiracy. Let's take the other side of it. Obama is a benign, wonderful individual who was really born in Hawaii, who loves America. He was not steeped in Marxism. He was not a student of Alinsky. He didn't sit in the church for 20 years, which spewed anti-American hatred. Michelle Obama is a frugal first lady. She doesn't dump on the American people by abusing the taxpayer. And everything that the White House does is for the betterment of mankind and humanity, especially for the American taxpayer. So let's take that position. So it's a complete accident that the Nazi went crazy two days after the cowboy standoff and went to a Jewish center on a shooting spree. I don't know what to say to you. Something's wrong with this picture. We've been talking about the fact that ABC News this morning reported that the Kansas City shooting suspect was a protected FBI informant, And then I went on to, okay, a conspiracy theory. I said, look, make believe I'm an old-style homicide detective before political insanity took over the police forces in America, just as it's taken over the FBI and the CIA and the NSA, where you can't even say the word Muslim when a bomb goes off on a sizzling backpack of a guy coming out of a mosque with a headdress. They could see a guy coming out of a mosque wearing a burqa with a bomb, and they would say that's not connected to any particular religion. That's how insane it is. It's crazy. The whole thing is insane. That's what the police are functioning with today. But I come from another era where we think we put two and two together. If we're wrong, we're wrong. Now, the same thing applies to what I'm about to tell you, another story from this morning. Here it is. A story comes out that a 9/11 museum film is coming out, and it's being slammed by the Muslim operatives in America for offending Muslims. It was on Newsmax. Here's the article. Religious leaders are slamming a documentary to be shown at the nation's premier 9/11 museum because it might make people believe Islam was responsible for the attacks that killed nearly 3,000 people. Already the lone imam, you hear the word imam, you're supposed to fall on your knees and beg forgiveness from God. Imam. Oh, he's an imam. You know what? It means nothing to me any more than the word rabbi means some. What does a rabbi mean? It means teacher. There are good teachers, bad teachers, stupid teachers, smart teachers, brilliant teachers, and moronic teachers. It's the same with the word imam. He's not a holy man. Big deal already. The imam on an interfaith advisory group to the National September 11th Memorial Museum has quit in protest at the 7-minute documentary. Well, let him quit in protest. He lives in America. We don't live in Yemen. I can't stand this takeover of our brains by these people. Sheikh Mostafa El Azabwe said, unsophisticated visitors who do not understand the difference between Al-Qaeda and Muslims may come away with a prejudiced view of Islam, leading to antagonism and even confrontation toward Muslim believers near the site. We're not saying all Muslims are terrorists, Mr. Sheikh Mostafa El Azabwe, but it's undeniable that all 19 hijackers were adherents to the Islamic faith, and whether you want to say they hijacked the faith or took it literally, it doesn't matter. They were not Catholics. They were not following the edict of the Holy Bible. And yet, Joseph Daniels, president of the nonprofit foundation that is overseeing the museum, says to the New York Times, quote, we have a very heavy responsibility to be true to the facts, to be objective, and in no way smear an entire religion when we're talking about a terrorist group. Already he's bending over backwards. The film is called The Rise of Al-Qaeda, and it seeks to explain the historical roots of the 2001 attacks on the World Trade Center and Pentagon. And what, they're not supposed to say that it has anything to do with individuals who have literally hijacked their own religion, you want to put it that way, or take the religion literally? How do you want to put it? All the film does is call the terrorists Islamists who viewed their deadly mission as a jihad. And it's these two terms that have upset the so-called advisory board. It also has the nerve to show images of terrorist training camps. And guess what? They're not in Ireland, and it's not nuns who are in the training camps. The film also has the nerve to show Al-Qaeda attacks spanning several years. Again, they were not priests conducting the attacks. So naturally, the imam is offended. Well, what can I say to you? What can I say to you? This is sickening. The terrorists need to be condemned. They need to be remembered for what they did. But to exclude their religion for what they did, you're not doing a service to the 1.5 billion people on the planet who are Muslim who had nothing to do with these actions. You're not doing them a favor. You have to alert them to the dangers within their own religion. By the way, just as Christians are aware of extremists within their religion, and Jewish people are aware of extremists within their religion, even in Israel, all of a sudden we have to think that there are no extremists within the Islamic religion, in order to make certain that another imam doesn't have a holy fit somewhere in America. And this is an example of going back to the first story of the day. You can't exclude anything when conducting a crime scene reconstruction. You ask any detective worth a dime, any detective worth his salt would say, of course we don't exclude anything. What, because he's wearing a religious outfit, we can't assume he's the perpetrator? Let's say you come into a church and there's been a massacre, and the only one left standing is a priest with blood on his smock. What do you say, the priest is not responsible automatically because he's a holy man? Tell me what detective would go along with that idea. None. You don't go along with that. You say, no, excuse me, sir, you're the number one suspect. Okay, well, we're sorry that we have to inspect your collar for DNA, but let me have the collar, put it in the bag. That's what detective work is. So it's the same with any other event. Common sense can't be thrown out the window simply because you might offend somebody wearing a holy garb. It's that simple. How many priests were arrested for molestation? I didn't hear anyone complaining about that, that it smeared the Catholic people. Did you hear that? When the years that the church was being smeared, primarily by the gay community, for being a church of child molesters in order to bring down the Catholic Church, did you hear anyone saying you're smearing the entire Catholic religion? I didn't. Did you hear a priest get up and say, stop accusing the pedophiles in our churches because it's not good for the Catholics? I didn't hear that either. They were glad to expunge their ranks of these perverts. And just as the Muslims should be glad to expunge their ranks of potential terrorists. Do you understand what I'm saying to you now? Maybe you'll be less offended if you open your eyes to reality. We're living in a very dangerous world. Okay, end the story. Let's move on. There's other news. And you know what the other news stories are, and I'm not going to cover all of them. We're going to take the callers instead. There's a big article about Harry Reid from Real Clear Politics. How did he become so wealthy? And Fire Harry Reid becomes rallying cry heading into 14 elections. Harry Reid made a critical error. The number one error of individuals like Harry Reid was made by Harry Reid. He got a little too arrogant and drunk on his own power. And the number one rule is, do what you want to do, but don't make a show of yourself, because then people are going to start asking questions. And right now, people are asking, how did he become so wealthy? And the same thing applies to other senators, other congresspeople, who entered with a reasonable fortune and are suddenly richer than King Midas. How did that happen? Maybe other people in other cities will start doing what they're doing on Real Clear Politics. Maybe a journalist in another city, like San Francisco, might look into a story like this. Or in New York City. They might look into a city like this. And what, they spraying something in the air now in the studio? I'm coughing. Teddy, what's in the air? What's that cloud in the air? Where is it coming from? It's coming through the vents, Teddy. No, the guys are looking at me at Skype. They see there's nothing coming through the vents. I'm just coughing. It's terrible allergy season.
I can't breathe. We'll get there, Michael. Senator Corleone. Governor Corleone. We didn't have the time, Michael. One day you'll be the Speaker of the House, Michael.
All right, let's take the callers on the Savage Nation. Rick on KCMO Radio. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Michael, again, you're the only one gets it. I live right here in Kansas City. I live 1 mile from the Village Shalom, which is obviously a Jewish retirement center. That's, by the way, 1 mile from the Jewish community. They're not even connected. So for anyone to think that it was random for him to shoot in two different places separated by a mile is completely insane.
Absolutely. He choked. Wait, so look, Rick, you're confirming my suspicion. Let's confirm the facts. He went after these centers because they were Jewish. It doesn't matter that he accidentally killed Christians, God rest their souls. He thought they were Jews. He was blinded with hatred. My only point is, how do we know that he wasn't a government Manchurian candidate, is all I'm asking.
No, he could be, and it goes further than that. How come you're the only one a week ago that said that some of the victims were not Jewish? The whole story imploded because even the government people thought that he would get Jewish people at Village Shalom, which is 99% elderly Jewish folks.
You mean because he accidentally killed Christians, suddenly the whole plot went up in smoke.
The whole plot goes up in smoke, and you're the only one, again, that gets it.
Wow. Well, that's a shame that the whole plot went up in smoke. You mean the ADL dropped the case because he killed Christians, not Jews? Where's the ADL shooting their big mouths off? Where is Abraham Foxman when we don't need him? Where is that little loudmouth when we don't need him? How come he didn't make an issue of this? You know, I have such anger towards these organized groups, you have no idea. I'm the only American media figure banned from entering Britain, by the way, to this day. And I don't wear it with pride. It still bothers me. I wrote Abe Foxman. You know what he wrote back? Nothing. He made believe I didn't exist. He basically said, take a nice ride on the boxcar. So don't talk to me about these professional Jewish organizations. They did nothing for me when I asked them. Nothing. And I'll name three more of them. And every time they send a fundraising letter, you know what I do with it? I wipe my ground with it. Because that's what they're worth. These professional fundraisers. Okay, same with the Republican National Committee. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Hey. No, I'm clear as a... It is the Savage Nation. The top of the morning to you. Welcome to the Savage. Actually, top of the afternoon and evening to you, depending upon where you are. On the Savage Nation, yeah, sure, North Dakota. North Dakota, South Dakota, East Dakota, West Dakota. I don't know if I want to take the show in this direction right now. That's why I'm biding my time, tapping on the table. Tapping on the table. Remember the show Homeland, the big TV show that was a hit, still is? Do you remember this segment where the vice president of the United States, it's found out, has a pacemaker in his heart, and the terrorist, the Muslim terrorist, goes to the medical device company that put it in and gets the code and then controls the code on his pacemaker and gives him a heart attack and kills him. I thought that was brilliant. So what does it have to do with anything? I don't know if they can control a pacemaker from afar, why they could turn the electric off when they want. After all, we're living in Eastern Europe now, aren't we? I mean, we're like living in Eastern Europe where they turn power off and on when they want. All right, whatever. It's not going to make it to the news. No one will cover this. I don't exist. The show is booming, but you never see my name anywhere, right? How is that possible? Ask about that conspiracy. I'm not complaining either. It's the way it is. Sotomayor's demeaning views on race. This is an interesting article by... Mike Gonzalez. He has the proper last name to write about it, the same way I can condemn certain individuals, let's say. Sotomayor's Demeaning Views on Race by Mike Gonzalez appeared this morning in the New York Post, and it's so brilliantly written. Mike Gonzalez is VP of Communications at the Heritage Foundation. His book on Hispanics, A Race for the Future, is due out in September. Anyway, he really rips it to pieces, as he should, because she's a nasty piece of work. Way over our head. But I want you to hear a clip from the media that was put out by the Washington Free Beacon. Eric, try to find clip two. The media loves Sonia Sotomayor's background. Listen to clip two.
There was a passionate dissent, obviously from Sonia Sotomayor.
But one justice was so passionate in opposition, passionate about discrimination.
Sotomayor issued an impassioned dissent.
The ruling produced an impassioned 58-page dissent.
But in a passionate dissent.
It was an impassioned and lengthy summary.
Stirred up a passionate dissent from one of the justices.
Sonia Sotomayor wrote a very impassioned 58-page dissent to that ruling.
It's a very passionate dissent, as you note, from Justice Sotomayor.
What you heard from Sotomayor in that impassioned, long, as you point out, dissent.
That, despite one justice's impassioned dissent.
A very impassioned minority opinion written by Justice Sotomayor.
If I made this up, you would think that I made this up. If you don't understand that there's a conspiracy in the media, then you're a dumb moron. Did you listen to those talking schmucks just now? Every one of those stooges got their talking points from somebody in the government, and they all use the same exact phrase, impassioned dissent, impassioned dissent, impassioned dissent, in order to support this clown Sotomayor with her stupid views on race. Her dissent was 64 pages long, which was longer than all of the four decisions by the Supreme Court justices who said the hell with affirmative action. Of course she's going to defend it. How else do you think she got where she is? Did you hear it or didn't you hear it? Shall I play it again so you can hear the word impassioned again? I bet your jaws are hanging out. I know mine was. I did not create this montage of these stooges. Play it again as we go out, Eric. Listen to this nonsense.
There was a passionate dissent. Obviously from Sonia Sotomayor.
Andrea Mitchell.
So passionate in opposition.
Garbage
passionate
head.
About discrimination.
Yeah, passionate. Yeah, another one, ABC now.
Dissent.
Oh, you're all a bunch of lousy liars, all of liars, useless idiots. Useless liar. Go take your Prozac, you useless garbage, you.
Wrote a very impassioned 58-page dissent to that ruling.
It's a very passionate defense, dissent, as you know, from Justice Sotomayor, but you heard
Seven.
Let him run these pieces. Let him run the pieces, and I want all of them to say, make sure they all say, impassioned. No matter what they say about Sotomayor, I want every one of them to say it was an impassioned dissent. All right? All right. See you tomorrow. Take a walk.
Now, what I'm doing is doing a parody, of course, of Don Corleone. Actually, it isn't Don Corleone. It's John Scongiuli, one of my favorite characters. John Scongiuli was one of my favorite acts. I can't do it anymore. It kills my voice for days afterwards. But I'm, as they say in the business, riffing on something, which is... Sotomayor wrote it, we'll go back 2 days. The Supreme Court rules that the voters in the state of Michigan have the right to amend their constitution. In this case, they supported the elimination of affirmative action hiring, right? The only dissent was written by Sotomayor, but it was a dumb dissent. It was idiotic. It was 64 pages long. As you well know, the first rule of the written word is less is more. And the mark of a brilliant writer is to use fewer words, not more words. But since she's not the brightest bulb in the pack, the sharpest pencil in the box, she writes 64 pages, driveling on and on about how it's unconstitutional. But bingo, all of a sudden, ABC, CBS, NBC, all the evening newscasts refer to the passionate or impassioned dissent by Sotomayor, and fake hosts like Andrea Mitchell, she of all of them makes me crazy because she was married to the guy who controlled the money supply, and she makes believe we don't know who she is. She also has that fraudulent sophistication about her. She strikes me as just a Garmin Center Gertie who put on the Upper East Side, spin to her voice, Andrea Mitchell, you know, a real high-class broad. And then, of course, Ronan Bone Marrow, a man never, ever qualified for anything other than being... Mia Farrow and our Frank Sinatra, so whoever's son he is, he won't be long in the media. He also, again, read the script and used the word impassioned. So Brian Williams, again, Brian Williams, the dumbest of them all, refers to the 6-2 vote as lopsided but deeply divided. I mean, Brian Williams has to be the dumbest man in the history of the news. No wonder no one listens to these people anymore. Listen to clip two and tell me there's no conspiracy in the media. Listen.
There was a passionate dissent, obviously from Sonia Sotomayor.
But one justice was so passionate in opposition, passionate about discrimination.
Sotomayor issued an impassioned dissent.
The ruling produced an impassioned 58-page dissent.
But in a passionate dissent.
It was an impassioned and lengthy summary.
Stirred up Eric, you should come back and talk in Spanish and social Pedro. Come on, give it to me in pure Spanish. Talk into the mic. Put it on the air. I'll ask you to do it.
I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm going to ask both of you individually to say impassioned dissent.
You heard from Sotomayor in that impassioned, long, as you point out, dissent.
That, despite one justice's impassioned dissent,
a very impassioned minority opinion by Justice Sotomayor.
Y la señora de Sotomayor, un pasión.
That's my board operator, Eric, who actually speaks Spanish. Pedro, you want to give it a shot? Come on, you're a college graduate who happens to speak Spanish fluently. Let's give Pedro a shot.
Sotomayor regresó con un escritura bien y apasionada.
Beautiful. Very good. You see, I have a very good group there behind the microphone. I got to watch my step. You're not doing it in another language. That's it. It went as far as you're going, Eric. I mean, the point is clear. You say, oh, there's no conspiracy, there's no liberal bias. You know, you can hear this a million times from conservatives saying there's a liberal bias, but you can't prove it. Now I just proved it for you, and it was done by the Washington Free Beacon. God bless them for catching this. How could you ever listen to Andrea Mitchell or Brian Williams, Mr. Pancake Makeup, or any of the others, and believe a word they say when you know that they're reading a script given to them by an operative in the White House? How can you not see the government media complex? 1998, A member of the media gave a speech before the Commonwealth Club entitled Beware the Government Media Complex. He sits before the microphone right now. His name is Michael Savage. Beware the government media complex. I was right then. I am right now. And I'm right here in front of the microphone in the Savage Nation. Now, I want to go back to the documentary that's going to be played at the 9/11 Museum that apparently some imam is upset about and other professional Muslims who are saying that it may give people the wrong impression. So here's Reverend, again, Reverend Chloe Breyer of the very liberal Interfaith Center of New York. Listen to her chiming in on this in clip number 11.
We are thrilled with much of the work that the museum has done. What we're saying is that we want and expect a little bit more from this video, that it needs context. It needs something about Islam as George Bush would say, a peace-loving religion.
Now you understand why I have such faith in interfaith centers. When you hear the word interfaith center, what you're basically dealing with is far-left radicals cloaking themselves in religion. That's what I've experienced in my life. Every time I've been attacked by interfaith, they wrap themselves in religion, but they're far-left radicals using religion as a weapon against their political opponents because they don't have the horsepower or the brain power to argue the arguments themselves, in my estimation. That's all. So let's see the documentary when it comes out. 855-400-7282. Let's go to some of the callers. Tim on WMAL in Washington, D.C., where the show is just soaring through the roof on WMAL. They got rid of Wallbanger. They put Savage on. And you say, well, it's not that big a share. It's a 2.8 share. You know what that means? It means 2.8% of all the listeners to radio are listening to my show when it's on. Say, well, what's the big deal? Well, let's say in a marketplace where there's, what, a high number of radio stations, an awful lot of internet outlets, unlimited choices. That's a very high percentage of people who are tuning into this show in this city and many other cities. They say, well, the shares are not that high. Well, on streaming radio, I have a 20 share. How do you explain that? Do you know what a 20 share is on streaming radio? Somebody must be listening to the show. It can't just be you. You talk about journalists. It's unbelievable to me. I mean, what I just played for you should be saved and never forgotten by any of you out there. Never. Never. WMAL, Tim has been holding on line 5. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Considering government conspiracies, consider the Oklahoma City bombing, Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh. One of your recent guests, I believe, Paul Craig Roberts was on, I believe it was your show, a couple of weeks ago. He wrote a book in 1997 or 1998 called The Medusa File. It goes into everything, all the conspiracy about the Oklahoma City bombing. I believe, actually, McVeigh and Nichols were pawns for the government. The book.
I don't want to go there with you and get into a late-night conspiracy show, but I do want to say this. I found it very strange that they executed him so quickly.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you've got Nidal Hassan, the Muslim major who committed mass murder at Fort Hood. Why has he not been executed? He was found guilty. Why is he still living?
Why did it take almost four years to put him in trial?
Okay. How long did it take McVeigh to go to trial and get executed? What was it, 2 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Let's raise the stakes on this. How about Saddam Hussein, a certifiable SOB, no-good-nick killer murderer? The man was executed in a very short period after being captured. Why did the U.S. government have him killed so fast?
Because he probably knew too much. Because I heard the real reason.
Let's go to the next one. Muhammad Gaddafi, good friend of America for many years, then a good enemy of America. What happened to Gaddafi? A head of state executed so quickly? Why?
He probably knew too much again. They say the real reason we went to Iraq was because Saddam was pumping too much oil, lowering the dollar. Because oil is traded in U.S. dollars.
It could be as simple as that. There have been wars in history over salt, for God's sakes. Native American tribes warred over many things, and one of the things they fought over was salt. Do you know that? You had coastal tribes that controlled salt because they lived near the sea. Then you had inland tribes like the Miwok, who mainly were an inland Indian tribe. Many of these tribes fought with each other over the rights to salt. Do you know that?
No, I had no idea.
Well, I'm giving you an example. So you say, why couldn't it be over oil? It could be over anything. Sure. It's always about money, isn't it?
It is always about money.
All right, so the whole thing in the Crimea and Ukraine is about money, nothing else.
Yes.
All the screaming about Putin, Schmutin, it's about power and money, nothing else. It's not about right or wrong.
And exactly. And what I've recently heard is the Illuminati bankers are funding both sides of it.
Well, I don't know. You get into the Illuminati, that's another story. I have a friend who's really into that. I love the guy, but I don't know. I'd rather have spaghetti than Illuminati myself. I mean, my favorite pasta is cappellini, not Illuminati.
Well,
thanks for the call. No, I can't. You see, this is too early in the evening or in the daytime. If my show was at midnight, let's say, till 3 in the morning, I would go for 3 hours now on this with, like, weird space music. We go, ooh, Illuminati. Illuminati. What's in the news? Here in the San Francisco area, there is no news. It's about food. It's about beverages. It's about morons, potheads, who had a pot celebration on Easter Sunday and trashed the park, which they buried. The vermin potheads turned the park into a sewer. But you're supposed to believe that because they smoke marijuana, they're somehow sacred, that they're not attached to stupidity and vagrancy. It's unbelievable to me how the city covers everything up. Whatever happened to the Shrimp Boy story? Where'd that go? The biggest story of our political life is Shrimp Boy. It's been buried from the newspapers because it may touch a few other raw nerves here in the Bay Area. Somehow rotten shrimp is not limited to the diner eating that plate full of it. You know, sometimes the rotten shrimp has a way of spreading its tentacles. We didn't have the time, Michael. We didn't have the time, Michael. Senator Corleone, Governor Corleone. Don't worry, Mike, we'll get there one day. Senator Corleone, Governor Corleone. No, it can't happen here. That's only fiction. It's only fiction. It's only fiction. I think I'm going to have to do Scungili again. I wish you could find it. Eric, we have it in the archives somewhere. You don't have it. One of my favorite pieces of yesteryear was John Scungili in Hollywood, how he controls the actors and actresses. Everyone loved that piece. I used to do a regular on Scungili. I don't think we have it anymore, and I'm not into those acts anymore, the radio acts. All right, let's go to the callers. Let's go to the callers so you don't talk amongst yourselves. 855-400-7282. Would you like a big gypsy wedding? Everything is a reality show now. Everyone's a star behind the bar. Wherever you turn, there's a star waiting to be found. Everyone in every bar in every city is a star waiting for a reality show, a producer to come and find them. You know, everybody thinks there's a reality show in their life. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, where's the reality show in my life? I'm doing a show that should be a reality show. After all, I'm on Skype right now. The thing is, I don't want cameras in my studio. That's so amazing. Why don't I do a camera in the studio? Well, people would pay for this to see a man with a hat and glasses and a dog doing a radio show. Yes, they would, but I don't. They don't make any money. Reality stars don't make any money. They give up their soul for a few dollars. They trade their soul for a few pieces of silver, but that's all they were worth to begin with. Their souls are so cheap to start with that all they're worth is a few pieces of silver. As Hemingway said, we all have to sell out for the highest price. I'll never forget reading that when I was 18, because I was an idealist, and I was thinking I'm a better man than this, and I'm too good for that, and I'm going to work hard to make sure I don't have to peddle my, you know what I'm saying? And then I stumbled upon something Hemingway wrote, because he was my hero at the time, and he wrote, everyone has to sell out. Just make sure you sell out for the highest price possible. I thought that was so well done. I really did. WFTL in Florida. Al, you're up on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Hey, Dr. Savage, you were talking about the media rigging stories and using the example of the repeated phrase with regard to Sotomayor over and over and over again from various media outlets and personalities that read the news every night. I'll call to remind you of the Journalist story that came out a few years ago where the email list had been discovered of a number of American journalists who were coordinating their stories one with the other and exchanging even dialogue and different talking points on stories. So we know that the media has been fixing the news for years to the liberal advantage. We know that
there's a bias in the media. It's all left wing all the time, but we've never seen such a clear portrayal of this bias until we just saw it moments ago when I played this piece from the montage on Sotomayor from the Washington Free Beacon. It should put a final stake in the hearts of these Frankensteins. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I want to show you more of the government media complex. Remember the First Lady, after coming back from her expensive, ludicrous, embarrassing, obscene junket to China on the government dime with no press allowed? She comes back and she wants to ham it up, grandstand, and speak at an 8,000-student graduation. And the students say, hey, look, this is about us. It's not about you. Stop using us. She just backed down. She canceled the appearance. But to punish the students, they're eliminating the combined ceremony in Topeka, Kansas, in order to make certain that people don't put two and two together and realize that she's not as popular as she would like you to believe. So listen to this headline. Instead of saying First Lady caves, cancels speech owing to students' complaints, listen to the headline by the Associated Press. New date for First Lady's Kansas graduation speech. All I can say to John Milburn and Darlene Superville at the Associated Press is, how the hell do you face yourself in the morning? How do you get up in the morning and look at your face in the mirror without realizing that you become a lapdog? You are supposed to be a watchdog for the people, not a stupid little lapdog. Of course there's a new date for the First Lady's Kansas speech, but that's not the headline. The headline is that she had to cancel it because nobody wanted her there. See, she had suggested that she should speak there in order to push her radical liberal agenda. But a furor erupted because they said no, they want their own family there. They don't want the seats taken away for Michelle Obama's entourage and Secret Service. That's it. I'll be back on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. It's the Savage Program.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And here he is, Michael Savage, borders, language, culture. We've been talking about so many different things, I can't summarize them. The first thing I talked about was the fact that an article came out last night on ABC News saying that the Kansas City shooter of the Jewish centers was an FBI controlled by the FBI. And it doesn't mean that they told him to do this, but I got to tell you that what came to my mind was 2 days after it happened, the ranch standoff, this guy does that, and I said, is there a connection? Because within a few hours, the very, very suspicious government agency, poverty group, whatever, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which as far as I'm concerned is a division of the Obama administration. They act like they're independent, but boy, are they doing the bidding of the far left. Within hours of the Jewish Center shootings, they knew who he was, they knew his background, knew he was a white supremacist. So I asked, could there be a relationship? And then we've been talking about that. And then, of course, on Monday on the show, we were all celebrating the Supreme Court saying a state has a right to amend its constitution, in this case, supporting those who said no to affirmative action. The dissent was written by none other than Sotomayor, the most, I think, brilliant Latina in the history of the world. Didn't they say she's the most brilliant? Something like the most brilliant Latina ever in the history of the universe. But it took the brilliant Latina 64 pages to write her rambling, incoherent dissent. When the four Supreme Justices took less than 64 pages to write their opinion. Nevertheless, to show you that there's a conspiracy in the media of the liberal persuasion, I played for you a montage put together by the Washington Free Beacon that was shocking because ABC, CBS, NBC, fakers like Andrea Mitchell. Andrea Mitchell, the pseudo-sophisticate. Who's the one on ABC, the one that's been around for 500 years? She looks like one of Al Pacino's old girlfriends from the 1970s. I don't know her name. Another one, Diane Sawyer, allegedly the granddaughter of Tom Sawyer, if not Tom Sawyer's actual mother. She's been around since Tom Sawyer. Diane Sawyer, Andrea Mitchell, and Ronan Bonefarrow, Ronan Bone Marrow, and Brian Williams, not to be undone, all repeated the same exact phraseology about an impassioned dissent. It was given to them. It was sent to them by the government. If I were in front of a court, I mean, what do I have to show to you about the bias? You say, so what? We've known it. Well, now that you know, why do you listen to these people? Now let's take some calls, because I lost power during the first hour, too. Everything went down except my ability to broadcast, because it's on a backup, battery backup. Sam, no, power outage. Kay on the Internet out of Nevada. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Kay, go ahead, please.
Yes, you know, Michael, I would suggest you check to see if you have a smart meter installed. You know,
I do. I had it. Wait, ma'am. Whoa. I have a smart meter. I had it installed about 3 weeks ago. So what are you suggesting?
You know, they admittedly, they monitor your power use, but I've long suspected that they can cut power to any chosen residence.
No, of course they can. But why would they have stopped from shutting off power before? They could shut it down for a neighborhood if they wanted to get one person.
Well, maybe they're just practicing.
Yeah, maybe they're practicing. I mean, if they blow up a whole country to get one person, why wouldn't they shut down a neighborhood to turn off one radio show? What does it matter to the power structure? I mean, after all, the edict of Marxism is if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. So what's an egg to them? Life has no meaning. They kill babies in the womb. They kill people in foreign countries with drones. And they go out to have a drink to act like a big, nice government agent. So what's an individual to them? Nothing. That's all. Next case. 855-407-282.
Governor Corleone. Not a little schnook running a gang. Not a little schmendrick running a gang in Las Vegas. Wanted you to be a peasant avante. Governor Corleone. Senator Corleone. Don't worry, Mike. We'll get there one day. We didn't have enough time.
It's one of my favorite fictions. It really is. That's why I wrote Abuse of Power and A Time for War, because it so enraptured me with the imagination that, you know, there's no other way to express it. What would you like to talk about on the Savage Nation? We have plenty of time now. We have an open hour. I have some more stories I didn't get to. Did you hear that? Actually, one of the top stories of the day I didn't get to yet, and it's the embarrassment the First Lady has experienced. It's on the top of the Drudge Report, and I did cover it at the end of the last hour. What am I talking about? That's right. The students said, no, Niet, go away. We don't want you. Don't come here and upstage us. It's our day. The parents didn't want. They were afraid that she was afraid that they'd boo her, in other words. You talk about a controlled, staged event. So suddenly the Stooges and the AP write, new date for First Lady's Kansas graduation speech. What a bunch of frauds. John Milburn and Darlene Superville, shame on you. Shame on you that you call yourself journalists. You're nothing. My dog has more dignity than you do. That's not what happened. What do you mean there's a new date for the speech? That's not the story. The story is that there were going to be protests, so the First Lady backed out. Because the kids said, enough with this politicizing of our lives. Remember we had the young lady who called this show, was it Taylor Gifford? She called this show spontaneously. She's the one who started the online petition urging the school district to change the plans for the First Lady. And 1,200 people signed the petition saying that Michelle Obama's visit would limit guest seating. But it wasn't just about that. She was going to hijack the graduation to peddle, again, a left-wing agenda. Again, to peddle an agenda item. She was going to use the graduation to mark that day's 60th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in Brown versus Board of Education, outlawing school segregation. Well, we're glad that school segregation was outlawed, Mrs. Obama, but isn't it time to let it go already? Can't you grow up and move into the year 2014 and stop living in the 60s? Stop pretending you're marching already? You're the First Lady already. Stop already with the marching business. You have a black president, a black first lady, a black attorney general, wherever you turn. Thank God. Thank God there's no prejudice anymore. And yet they can't stop with the marching stories. It's an embarrassment. Maybe they thought a few people knew it and they would have to put up with, you know, the Secret Service beating up some girls. Maybe they didn't want the embarrassment of some snipers shooting an 18-year-old schoolgirl. Some of the brave men in our government with telescopic sights. Maybe they were going to shoot some students who would dare say no to the First Lady. This all occurred, of course, while the king himself is in Asia making a mockery of himself, bowing down to a robot. It's a picture you won't see on your websites or anywhere else. Bowing down to a Japanese robot. He bowed to a robot. I swear to God. Top of Drudge Report, U.S. President bows to Japanese robot. The man has no bottom to his lack of dignity. The man is an embarrassment to the presidency. Don't tell me I'm disgracing him. Don't tell me I'm disgracing him. Who bows down to a robot? Well, all right. You're used to it by now. Big story. How did Harry Reid become so wealthy on Real Clear Politics? That's because he overstepped his position. He started to make people look into the why he's so interested in that land in the desert. He's blaming it on global warming now, the disappearance of land in the Nevada desert. He's blaming it on global warming, and not on the government stealing land from ranchers. You hear? All right, 855-400-7282. Nancy on KSFO in my hometown of San Francisco. Nancy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. As your answer to the question, yes, he is definitely a Manchurian candidate. The guy in Kansas? Yeah.
The white supremacist who let loose in Jewish centers and killed three people, I suspected that there may have been some connection to him being a Manchurian candidate because it occurred so close to the government standoff in the desert.
That's it. You're right.
All right, Glenn, I'm glad you see it. And I was the only one in the media who caught it. In fact, it happened a day that this, right as soon as it happened, I, like an old-time Irish homicide detective in New York who had no constraints on his thinking. When I grew up, a detective could think. Today, they have to consult a book to see what they're allowed to think. Say, well, wait a minute, could it be a Muslim that set the bomb off? We saw a guy coming out of a mosque. He had a burqa on. He's wearing a burqa, even though he's a guy, and he had a backpack with a bomb on it. It went off. Well, hold on. We can't say any connection to Islam, so let's scratch that. I mean, that's the way they have to think today. You understand that? Well, unfortunately for you, I don't think that way. So the minute I saw these shootings, I went on the radio, and in clip number one, if I get my board operator's attention, you will hear what I said the minute this shooting occurred. Play it now. A day or two after the standoff in the Nevada desert, all of a sudden, a Nazi was released who goes and kills people outside a Jewish center in Kansas. He kills two Christians, by the way, and then one Jewish person. And before it even is over, within hours, we have his complete dossier. We know who he is. We know who he is, where he comes from. We know he said Heil Hitler. And strangely enough, that organization called the Southern Poverty Law Center released all the information about this Nazi literally within a few hours of the event occurring. It seemed to me it was a seamless connection between the Nazi being released and him going on a shooting spree outside two Jewish organizations in the Midwest. And so what am I getting at? What I am getting at is perfectly possible to me that he was a madman under control of a government agent, probably who infiltrated his little cell, made believe he was one of them, and told the man now is the time to get those Jews. Why? Why would they want to have a shooting at a Jewish center literally a day after the government backed off from American cowboys? Well, there you go. That's what I said at the time. I don't think you heard that on any other show. I didn't say that he was a government-controlled marionette. I asked the question, is it possible? And you said, well, what would be the point of that? What would be the point of a government having a nut like this in their control and then releasing him to go on a rampage right after the Bureau of Land Management backs down from American militiamen and ordinary Americans who are armed to the teeth and have had enough of this garbage from an overbearing, jackbooted administration. What would be the advantage, you have to ask yourself, to a government covering up their embarrassment? Well, there may not be a distinct advantage, but you have to understand something. Fascistic dictatorships are extremely thin-skinned and extremely egotistical. They don't like to lose face. There may not be direct advantage to it. They just didn't want you to even remember it about the standoff. So you may not even be as clear a conspiracy as you think to link it up to gun control. It may just be that this weak dictatorship that we have, run by the weakest president in American history with the most, frail ego of any modern president, did not want you to know or even remember, and I'm talking about the majority of Americans who didn't even know what happened in the desert. Remember, we're talking about the majority of morons out there who are interested in which girl kissed which girl, which Hollywood star molested which boy outside a hot tub. That's what they're interested in. Whether they could have a reality show come into their toilet and see them washing their face. It's all the average person wants a reality show in their toilet. That's all. Everyone's a star behind their car. Everyone's a star in the bar. Go into a bar anywhere, any city USA. Everyone's in a movie. Well, even a geeky little dive bar, they're all waiting to be discovered. Look how people pose around bars, girls, boys. Everyone's waiting to be discovered. Everyone's a star behind the bar. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Hey, you...
Senator Corleone. Governor Corleone. Son.
I'm not a peasant of Anta.
This wasn't enough time, Michael. Wasn't enough time.
We'll get there, Pop.
I got chills up my spine every time I hear that because, you know, Mario Puzo was a novelist. And Mario Puzo, who died, I don't know how long ago, was, in my opinion, the American Maupassant. He didn't write that many novels, but every one of them had such a profound impact on our society, obviously with Godfather movies and whatnot. He was the Guy de Maupassant of our time, for those of you into a literature. And this is a very telling scene where the head of the crime family says to his son that he was a little disappointed in him as he's near his death. He's going to die soon. He was just shot. And he dies in the next scene with the kid. That's a great scene where he falls in the grape. Remember the grapes? He pulls down the cap. I mean, this was genius cinematography. And... he says to the son, we didn't have the time. I wanted you to be Senator Corleone or Governor Corleone. I mean, it was chilling. In a way, you know what it did was it took the innocence out of American politics. If there was any innocence left, people, after the sequence of movies, there was no innocence left. And that's why America's politicians are so hated in the country today. We are like living in a banana republic. I would say that the contempt for politicians today is about equal to that of histamines are to antihistamines. 855-407-282. We're running out of time. Let's shoot over to Sharon on the internet in Utah. Sharon, fire away. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Savage, I'd like your astute opinion on Glenn Beck attempting to discredit Mr. Bundy, calling him a racist today.
I had never been a fan of Glenn Beck. I think he's the Margot, the false preacher of our time. I did not know that he called Bundy a racist. When did that clown do that?
On the radio this morning.
Well, what do you expect from a guy with no education who's gotten so far, but to have contempt for his audience? I mean, when you take a guy who was an alcoholic with no education, who gets so far and makes so much money, would you think he has any respect for his audience? It's that simple. There's your answer. You get what you pay for.
And no proof linking me to any criminal conspiracy, whether it is called Mafia or Cosa Nostra, or whatever other name you wish to give, has ever been made public. I have not taken refuge behind the Fifth Amendment, though it is my right to do so. I challenge this committee to produce any witness or evidence against me. And if they do not, I hope they will have the decency to clear my name with the same publicity with which they now have besmirched it.
Brilliant writing. I mean, really brilliant writing. You know, it's all fiction. We all know that there's no such thing as organized government. I mean organized crime. I mean organized government crime. We know that there's no such thing. We know that they're in business as public servants, that they mean to help us. Obamacare is set up to help as many people as possible, not to rip off trillions of dollars for false medical treatments, drugs that aren't given. No, it was set up not to hurt the medical system. It was set up to help. In other words, if you want to help more people, what you do is you go to Mexico and try to sign up illegal aliens for Obamacare. That's what you, or you take the sickest people in America who nobody would insure because they would go bankrupt if they did, and you turn it over to the average moron, the average putz out there, let him pay for it. And everybody wins when you think about it. The drug companies win. The hospitals win. Everybody wins except the taxpayer. And since when did they ever matter? All right. That's it. We're moving right along on the Savage Nation. And if you care to comment, the phone number is 855-407-2822. We're talking about a number of different topics today on the Savage Nation coming to you. Brought to you by Herbie's Leather Shop off Highway 50 near 382 on the intersection of 79 right out there outside the diner. It's Herbie's Leather Products for anything you may need in the leather department. That's a joke. It's an old inside radio joke that I used to do just for fun. Local radio shows sponsored by like Herbie's Leather Goods, right? There probably is a Herbie's Leather Goods. They just got a free ad for nothing. Other guys are paying a fortune. I gave Herbie's Leather Goods a free ad. Glenn Beck really called the rancher a racist? I wonder who he's pandering to. I guess his next stop is NBC. I mean, the statement like that, he could only be pandering to either the czars of Hollywood, who, as you well know, love young boys. They love to help them get ahead. And since he's now become the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer in his own mind, he has to pander to them. So I guess you call Bundy a racist if you want to get ahead in Katzenberg, and Ratzenberg's hometown. That's all. Join the fight. Be part of our winning team. So Michelle caves into student pressure, cancels speech. Sotomayor's demeaning views on race. Iran gets seat on UN Women's Rights Body. I mean, these topics are important. Texas is next. Attorney General warns feds eyeing state land after Bundy Ranch standoff. This is just the beginning. It's just the beginning of a land grab. The Muslims claim 9/11 memorial film on Al-Qaeda will greatly offend Islam. Okay, how do you deal with that one? I think Americans were offended by 9/11. I think that's what we should be worried about, frankly. What would you like to talk about? You know the phone number. You know the show. JNKSFO, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
So, Dr. Savage, I wanted to talk about the royalty class that's developing in our country and how that I think it's an express natural tendency about for people in government to develop and aggrandize themselves using PR to the point where they become royalty and they become megalomaniacs. And that's really where we're at right now.
Yeah, but that's, look, I don't want to demean what you just said. Lord Acton wrote, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. I think that adage applies to what you're saying. They have absolute power right now because there's no press to keep them in line. In other words, 50 years ago, of course we had the same royalty mentality amongst congressmen and senators. When I was a little boy growing up in New York, they had a license plate, then they had another set of license plate. And on the back of the lowliest assemblyman in New York City, there was an extra little attachment to the rear bumper that said Assemblyman District whatever. And when that car went by in your neighborhood, it was like watching a royal figure appear in your neighborhood because we all knew assemblymen had enormous power. In other words, it's nothing that new that a man would go into politics simply for the power that he gains. And if he can rob money on the side, that's even better. But wait. However, there was usually a limit to how much they could rob and steal without getting caught by newsmen, by the FBI. But today, since there's a vast, seamless connection between the government and so many other agencies and the press, many of them are getting away with real big deals. Thank you for the call. So what were some of the powers that the assemblymen in my city when I was a kid had? They had tremendous power from fixing a speeding ticket, right? If you wanted a speeding ticket, let's say, You went to a lawyer who knew a lawyer who knew a judge who knew the assemblyman. If that ticket was a big deal to you, you'd lose a license, right? And they would make the ticket disappear on a low level. Well, let's say you were a kid who was pretty smart but not that smart and you wanted to get into West Point or Annapolis. You went to the assemblyman who went to this one, to the general. And the general got you into West Point. That's how it worked in those days. There was no secret about it. And the general got a ticket to the Madison Square Garden or a schmear job, a trip to Atlantic City, whoever they did. That's how it worked. It was all rather low level. But then on the higher level, it was fixing cases, rigging juries, God knows, bidding contracts. Whatever movie you've seen, that's what it was about. But we had a press that looked into these things. You had people on the crime beat who would look into the connection between government officials and wealth that had grown out of proportion with the job, with them or their siblings, with their mates, however you call it, not siblings, I don't know what you call it, spousal wealth. And it was kept in control. People would raise eyebrows if a person went into a Senate worth, let's say, $1 million. Let's say they were known to be worth $1 million, let alone what they hid. And then within a few years, they're worth $25 million that they couldn't hide. Say, how did that happen? Well, a writer for the San Francisco newspaper 50 years ago would have looked into it. Today, they're nothing. They're like rabbits. They're like hares, whatever they are. They're useful tools of the Democrat machine. That's all. That's how it works. They're not looking into anything important. Unless it's homophobic, of course, then they're all over it. Or unless it's about chocolate or a restaurant somewhere in the Bay. Oh, then they're covering it. If a piece of chocolate's no good in the Bay Area, don't worry about it. They'll be all over that in the San Francisco Chronicle. I tasted the chocolate at X restaurant, and it was extremely deficient, as was the butter dish. I ate a clam butter dish. It was not up to par. Then they're going to go berserk. Now they'll cover that story. What would you like to talk about? WBOB in Florida. Florida, hasta la victoria siempre. Rose, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, Dr. Savage, I would like to thank you. I am a new listener, and I could talk all day about something, but I just want to say that I'm very interested to read your new book that's coming out, Borders, Language, Culture. You've changed my view on immigration, and I thank you, because I was very confused until I started listening to you.
Well, that's right. It's very easy to have compassion for immigrants, but you should remember that I'm an immigrant son, which gives me a special position in this entire argument. And the simple reasons for opposing massive amnesty are, one, financial, because we cannot afford it. The country is tottering right now by printing money. I mean, we're bankrupt right now. Our bankruptcy level is about equal to that of Greece, only it's hidden. And Obama flies around, she flies around like nothing. McCain, the moron, gets up, we're going to write a check to the Ukraine. Where's the money coming from? So on the issue of money, everyone can understand, you can't give blanket amnesty. But what about borders, language, and culture as they define a nation? Now, that's another story that no politician will seem to mention. I don't get it. 855-400-728. Dava on a KCMO, welcome to the program. You're on the air. What's on your mind, Dava?
Hey, Michael, what's the connection with the Southern Poverty Law Center and the shooter at the Jewish Community Center? Why did they release the information? It's like they had it canned already.
Thank you very much. The Southern Poverty Law Center is an arm of the Obama administration, in my opinion. They're an arm of the left-wing radicals who have distorted virtually every situation that they've touched. And for them to have been the ones to release to the press the white supremacist or Nazi's background, his dossier, so soon after the shooting, tells us all we need to know about them, doesn't it? Thanks for the call. I don't know what the connection is. I don't know exactly what Mr. Potok does at the Southern Poverty Law Center. But I do know he has very good relations with the president and his advisors. Okay, it would be like, let's say we had a conservative president who suddenly is seen inviting a grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan into the White House 15 times. That's the equivalent of Obama inviting Al Sharpton into the White House, in my opinion. I mean, people would be, are you crazy? You're inviting the grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan into the White House? People wouldn't believe it's happening. To me, Al Sharpton is the equivalent on the other side. That's how I see it. Maybe you disagree with him. Maybe you think he's a fine reverend. A wonderful man of the cloth. Oh, sure, he's in it for the people. You know that. He's the people's reverend. You know, he's been very quiet lately is Jesse Jackson. The last I read, he was in Japan trying to shake down Japanese automaker. I mean, do business. I mean, something or other with Japanese automakers, whatever he does with them. As you well know, he's a brilliant engineer. He's an automotive genius, and that's why Toyota and the other companies invite him over, because he has so many inventions in the area of automobile technology, Jesse Jackson. You didn't know that. In the midst of busing people around the nation to shake down companies, he has 100 patents on automobiles. That's why they invited him. He's such a genius. But I haven't seen him in a while. He hasn't been around. It is 45 minutes after the hour. The electricity is still flowing into the studio, so we'll take another caller here, a caller there. Which is the best caller out there? Should we play that piece that we have? We have a couple of very good pieces, but they're too long to play today. I have to play one of them tomorrow, the interview or follow-up, part two. I played the Kansas City shooter. Oh, this is interesting. Here is a Democrat named Representative Gregory Meeks, who must be listening to my show in Washington, because he absolutely repeats what I said in clip number five. Play clip five. Clip five.
You know, Senator McCain is a good man. And every time I hear him speak, I say, thank God he's not president of the United States. Because if he was, his answer to everything is give them weapons or send some troops or something that's militarily involved. You know, it would seem to me that we would have learned by now that we live in a different world than maybe.
Thanks for listening, Rep. Meeks. Because I've been saying over the last few days, thank God that McCain didn't win over Obama. I know you can't believe it. But if McCain had beaten Obama, bombers would have been over Russia by now. We'd be in World War III. I said that 2 days ago. So thank God the liberals are listening to me and learning something. It's about time they learned from old Doc Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All the news of the day not covered here. Only the important news of the day. The important views of the day. The important reviews of the day. News, views, and reviews. Borders, language, culture. Welcome back to the program. It is 53 minutes after the hour. It's one of those days where, as the end of the third hour approaches, I would like to be on the air another three. I don't know whether it's my new diet, my new antihistamine diet, living like a Japanese prisoner of war on Bataan, on boiled white rice and vegetables with a little chicken thrown in. I don't know what it is. I have so much energy, it's frightening. I don't know what's... Something's wrong with me. I'm not exhausted. I'm not depressed. I'm not angry. I don't know what's wrong with me. I better go see a doctor so he can make me depressed, bored, and angry. Paul WJR in Detroit, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, Dr. Savage, yeah, I was just watching TV here at Fox News. They got a program called The Five On, and somebody asked Sean about what they thought of you, and the person mentioned that, well, it was derogatory in nature.
Yeah, of course it is. Sean's son has set. And, of course, they'd have him on while I'm on the radio to try and run me down. That's the way Roger Ailes works. I mean, what do you expect from Roger Ailes? I mean, the guy is as low as they come. So you think he's any different than Obama? They do to their enemies exactly what Obama does to their enemies. You know, make no mistake about it. If you think that the conservatives are any better than the liberals, you're mistaken. It's a business for both of them. Just remember that. It's only a business for them. And so if you think that they're not going to play dirty baseball the way Axelrod plays ball for Obama, you're mistaken. They have no credibility to me. What, are they any different than Holder and Obama because they're on Fox News? What, are you kidding me? What, because they wear a skirt and flip their hair or wear good lipstick? They're no different. I'm a competitor to them. I wiped the floor up O'Shaughnessy there, Hannity. The Shillelagh Jr. there. I smeared the floor with him. Look at the numbers. Look at the numbers, the Nielsen numbers. In New York, I have a 1.1 share. Shaughnessy there has a 0.5. Every city, I'm wiping up the floor with him. Wherever I appear opposite him, he has no chance. He's never had any competition, so people thought he was a genius. And I'm sick and tired of people saying, oh, don't bash Hannity. I'll do what I have to do to survive. He's out to kill me. He invented things about me that are lies, and I'm sick of him. He's a nobody, a fraud, a high school dropout who's gotten very far, very far. He got very far as a fill-in for Limbaugh, and he can't believe that suddenly the sun is set on his empire. They pushed him into Siberia on Fox News, so what does he do now? He comes out in the middle of the day on the show that's opposite me on television to bash me. So it tells me I'm winning and he's losing. That's all. Now let's move on. Meanwhile, Eric Holder canceled an appearance in Oklahoma City amid angry protests. Michelle Obama canceled an appearance at the high school graduation because of angry protests. Fire Harry Reid is becoming a GOP rallying cry. And people are saying, how did he become so rich? Trust me, the wheels are coming off Obama's carriage. But of course, he's out of town right now, so you wouldn't know it. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Apparently, you've given me the 15 minutes, and I hope I've given you a small piece of America tonight. Until tomorrow, when you turn your radios back on, when I come on the air, this is Michael Savage saying good night.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.